The Escape of Mother Macrina. It was in the spring of 1843 that one day they perceived the courtyard of the convent full of armed men. As the presence of the soldiers always initiated a change of abode for the sisters, they knew they were going to leave Polock, and they felt convinced that they were destined for Serbia. "So much the better," said they all. "We shall suffer the more." And they sang a hymn in honor of the Archangel Michael. But in this expectation they were deceived. One more attempt was to be made to break their resolution, and their present destination was to Madzoili, a town in the government of Minsk. They set off at night, and all had to go on foot, except those who had lost the use of their limbs. Even the poor blind nuns, and those suffering from undressed wounds, had to march with the rest. It was a ghastly procession, yet they bore their sufferings of that toilsome journey for 10 days with the same heroic patience. As they were crossing the Dnieper, their conductor seemed uneasy lest they should jump into the river to rid themselves of their torments.
"Is the river heaven that we should jump into it?" said one of the sisters, divining the cause of his agitation.
On arriving at Madzoili, they were delivered into the hands of the proto-pope Daniel. The black nuns there received them with jeers and laughter.
"How fat and fresh you all are! But you have had nothing to try you yet. Wait a little. We will find out how to pull you down."
The sisters were then set to the most disgusting offices. To their shame, they found their 2 bazillion monks who had apostatized and were among the most cruel of their tormentors. They stole the linen which the sisters had to wash for the household, and pawned it to the Jews for brandy, and the sisters were accused of the theft and beaten. They had not been long here when they were again divided into 4 parties and separated, and each was then told that the others had recanted. The miserable falsehood, however, availed nothing. They had too much confidence in each other's constancy, and when they all assembled again, they found their number complete. Shimezko paid them a visit in the autumn, and in the presence of the convent and a number of children, assumed a gentle tone, spoke in their own language, offered to put the children under their care, and after reasoning with them, pointed to a small packet on the table and said, "That is ready for you as soon as you embrace the Orthodox religion." They replied that they feared neither torments nor death for Jesus Christ, for they would live and die for him. Nor would they teach the children of schismatics, except to bring them up in the Catholic faith. Shimezko, in a rage, swore that they should be beaten.
"Just what we wanted to ask you for," said Sister Merseka.
"You will go to hell if you persist," cries Shimezko.
"Oh, my God," was the answer, "how merciful art thou to endure the presence of such an apostate."
Shimezko then ordered that they should be tortured in a new way. They were tied up in sacks with large ropes around their neck, and taken to the side of one of the lakes surrounding the convent. "Now," said he, "embrace our religion, or I will drown you."
"We will not give up Jesus Christ," said they all. "So, demon, do as you bid."
The assistants accordingly jumped into a boat and rowed from the shore, pulling the sisters into the water and towing them behind. Before they were out of their depth, the rowers stopped and made the old offer, to receive the same indignant refusal. Then they went into deeper water and rowed them about for 3 hours, the cord all the while nearly strangling them. After this they were taken back to their prison. They were kept all night in their wet clothes, and the water running off made mud of the prison floor. All their old wounds festered from the cold and damp, and new ones broke out all over their bodies. This punishment was repeated 2x a week for 3 weeks, and was only discontinued on account of the freezing of the water. On the 3rd occasion, 3 of the sisters died in the water. Their bodies were put into a hole by the side of the lake, but the inhabitants of Madzoili gave them a decent burial the same night. The ensuing winter was a very severe one for the poor sisters. Their wounds opened afresh with the ice, and they grew weaker and weaker. They were allowed to get wood from the forest, but chained as they were, they could scarcely bear the weight. And when they had it, their stove would not carry off the smoke, and one of the sisters was suffocated, another was frozen to death in the forest. The winter after was still more severe, and at its close only four remained, who were not either blind or paralytic, out of all three of the United Sisterhoods. Nevertheless, it was determined to send them to Serbia to end their days there. Had this intention been carried into effect, nothing would have transpired of all this history. But Almighty God designed that the world should know what schismatic barbarity can perpetrate. Mother Macrina, with three of her companions, at length effected their escape. On the occasion of the protopope's fiat, the whole of the inmates were intoxicated for three successive days. On the evening of the third day, Mother Macrina found her guards asleep in their places. She passed them, and roused the three sisters who still retained the use of their limbs. They reached the top of the wall by the help of the trees, and notwithstanding its height, after commending themselves to God, let themselves drop on the snow. When they found themselves all uninjured, transported with joy, they knelt down and recited the Te Deum. In order to battle pursuit, and to secure at least the escape of one to tell the tale, they separated, appointing to meet at a certain town on the frontier. Mother Macrina pursued her difficult journey, or rather wanderings, amid the Lithuanian forest for 3 months, begging her way, beset with spies, and enduring the greatest extremities of cold, hunger, and thirst. From many persons she received great kindness, but the names have been carefully concealed, that they might not incur the vengeance of the Tsar. At length she arrived at the town where she was to meet the sisters, but only one was there, Sister Marseca. At a later period she ascertained that the other two had reached Galicia. After 8 days she set off, and having crossed the frontier, crawling on her hands and feet among a herd of cattle, and so escaped the last Russian sentinel. She reached Posen in safety, where she only wished to live a retired and humble life of devotion. But the archbishop obliged her to draw up a circumstantial account of her sufferings. Though the Grand Duchy of Posen, she passed via Paris to Rome, where, by the command of the Pope, she dictated to three officials the startling history which her own humility would have concealed. She carries on her person the marks of her 7 years of martyrdom. Her neck is seamed by the rope which she was dragged in the water of Mazzoli. Her feet are galled by the chains, and her head retains the scar which she received on the dreadful night at Spas. She is still living at Rome, where she has now established a house of her order. She is more than 60 years of age, but her mind is as vigorous as ever, and the truth of her narrative is stamped upon her features. The Russian government has attempted to refute the whole story, and has had recourse to this end to the most contemptible subterfuges. But the Tsar, when he faced His Holiness in 1845, was unable to deny to the face of the Vicar of Christ what he had not scrupled to deny in official documents. He was speechless, went out abashed and confounded from his presence. Of the blind and paralytic sisters who were left behind, two died a few days after Mother Macrina's flight, and all the others were placed in a hospital, after a long resistance on the part of Shimesco, who would only give his consent on the condition of their receiving communion once at least from the hands of a schismatic. At last he gave in, when he found he could not prevail, but he strictly charged the officers of the hospital never to let a Catholic priest have access to them. This is the true story of one convent of Basilian nuns, but the whole order endured the same persecution, and of the 245 religious of whom it was composed, not one fell away. There is no reason to suppose that the government had any special hatred to this community, and as all were as constant as they, it is probable that the story of the nuns of Minsk is the story of every other convent of the Basilian order.